Now we come to chapter 3, and here we find out that suffering also produces conduct. We saw that it produces separation. Now it produces conduct, the conduct of believers. Now, that conduct is manifested in two different places for the believer. And it's his conduct in the home and his conduct in the church. In the first 7 verses, why we have the conduct in the home. And verse 1 actually ties us right back into chapter 2, where we were talking about separation there, and separation and conduct are blended and molded together here, because he opens this chapter this way, in the same manner, or likewise, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the behavior of the wives. Now, we had back in Ephesians the same theme of the position of the woman or the wife in the home. But there it was a Christian home. Not only a Christian home, but where they were spirit-filled believers. Because you see, this entire section back in the 5th of Ephesians began with, be filled with the Spirit. Then what are you to do? Well, one of the things is, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, here the husband is to love the wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you're talking here about a Christian home in which the wife and the husband are both believers and they're spirit-filled believers. And now the relationship is one on the part of the man that he loves his wife, willing to die for her. Now, for the sake of order in any place, there must be leadership. There must be headship. And that has been given to the husband. Now, when the wife is told to submit here, it's not like the obedience of a child. A great many men think that when they get married, the wife becomes sort of their first child. She's to obey him like a child is to obey. And may I say, that's not true at all. And as we suggested before, submission actually has to do with that which is voluntary. Submit yourself. This man loves you. You are to submit to him. But the better word, and I like it better because it means more, respond to this man. If he comes to you, he's a Christian husband, puts his arms around you and says, I love you. I love you more than anything else. Well, there's nothing wrong with the wife looking up and saying, I love you. Now, suppose, though, that the wife is married to a man that's not a Christian. To begin with, she shouldn't have married him if that was the case. Any woman or any man's in trouble that marries a non-Christian. The scripture says an ox and an ass are never to be yoked together. And there are a lot of them yoked together today. Now, I do not think that the unsaved can get any farther than the sex relationship. I believe that two believers can make sex the most precious, most beautiful, most wonderful thing that there is in this world today. And I think they're the only ones that really can enjoy the physical relationship. I've counseled a great many young people that I've married, actually several hundred couples down through the years. I never majored in trying to marry as many as I could. I, very frankly, always did it with fear and trembling. I always counseled them along this way, and I mention it very briefly to you today, that marriage is made on 3 different planes. There is the physical plane, and that's important. That's the thing we just mentioned that the world talks about today, sex. And it's a wonderful thing to have a wonderful wife and to be able to put your arms around her and to love her. There's no question but what that's a wonderful thing. The thing that I did when I got married, my wife felt like she was not cut out to be a preacher's wife. She was disturbed by it because she'd brought up in a little town in Texas and she'd seen how the preacher's wife was treated there. So I took her over to talk to Dr. Schaefer one day. And I told Dr. Schaefer what her feeling was. And Dr. Schaefer, I never shall forget, said this, and she's never forgotten it. He says, "You know, I am out on conferences a great deal. And when I come home," he said, "I'm not looking for an assistant pastor. I'm not looking for an organist. And I'm not looking for a soloist. And I'm not looking for the president of the missionary society." Says, "I want a woman there to meet me who's my wife, that I can put my arms around her and love her." May I say to you, that answered the question that was in my wife's mind, by the way. And I think that's an important relationship. Now, the second is a mental or psychological relationship. And I think it's important today. It's nice when the husband and wife enjoy doing the same thing. I've met many that are like that. We had on our tour to Bible Lands a very wonderful couple. They were up in years. When I say up in years, they were in their 50s. And they would get up early of a morning, take a hike. At night, they would walk together. They would go to certain things that even the tour didn't go to because they did things together. And it's wonderful to have that relationship. And the thing that makes Maggie and Jiggs in the funny paper so funny is that Jiggs wants to go to Denny Moore's where they have corned beef and cabbage and beer, and she wants to go to the opera where they have champagne. Their interests and their appetites are altogether different. And that, of course, is not healthy. The fact that husbands and wives don't have the same relations explains all these lodges and clubs today where men can go, and now, of course, where women can go. It's to get away from the other and to do what you want to do. Then the third level is the spiritual level. And that is when two of them are believers. When problems come and trouble comes, sorrow comes, and suffering comes, they are able to kneel down together, and they're able to come to God together in prayer, and they're able to meet around the Word of God together. And you can break these other ties. A threefold cord, we're told in Scripture, is not easily broken. When you have all three, you have a wonderful marriage. But the first two can break, and if the third one will hold, the marriage will hold. But when the third one is broken with the others, the marriage has gone down the tube, friends. I have to admit that there's very little hope for a marriage like that. Now, this is a relationship where apparently a wife got converted after they were married. Because the Scripture forbids marriage of a believer and an unbeliever. I think it's a big mistake. And as one little girl came to me, she said, "Dr. McGee, he's not a believer, but I'm going to win him for the Lord." Well, I said, "Have you won him yet?" She said, "No, he won't even come with me to church yet." I said, "Look, little girl, your greatest influence with that young man is right now. The day you get married, your influence to win him for the Lord goes down quite a bit. You'll never be able to preach to him again. You're going to be living with him, and he's going to be watching you from then on. So if you can't get him to church now, you're in trouble." And she didn't like what I said. In fact, she went and got another preacher to perform the ceremony because I wouldn't perform it. I never did marry, knowingly a saved and an unsaved person. I think it's wrong, entirely wrong. She got somebody else. And then she came in 2 years weeping and telling me that wanted to talk to me. She'd gotten a divorce from him. Well, it was headed that direction before it even started. Now here you have, though, that unfortunate relationship where you have a saved wife and an unsaved husband. What is to be after she's converted now? Is she to change and become a sort of a female preacher in the home to present the gospel to him and to lecture to him? No, she's to continue on in the same position of being in subjection. Now, the word here, to be in subjection, means submitting yourselves. And friends, this is a voluntary step, and it's not a command. And obviously, it refers now to an unsaved husband. She is to continue on in this relation of voluntarily being in subjection. Let him continue to be the head of the house. But wait just a minute. Suppose that he wants her to go with him to the nightclub and drink liquor, cocktails. Is she to do that? And I'm sure that even these most rabid folk today that say that she should obey her husband would agree that she shouldn't do this. At least I hope they wouldn't go that far. Well, may I say to you that there are those, though, that have said that. We had a lady when I was in downtown Los Angeles. They were not members of the church. She attended the church. Her husband was unsaved. And some evangelist that she had heard told her that she was to obey her husband because he wanted her to go with him to the nightclub. And apparently, it was a sort of a burlesque. It offended her sensibilities. And she was under awful conviction about it. In fact, the matter is, she'd come to the place where a doctor told her that she'd have to enter an institution for psychopathic treatment because of the fact she could not go on under that type of pressure. And she felt like she had to because this evangelist talked that way to her. Well, she heard me on the radio, and believe me, I have a little different idea about it. I don't believe Simon Peter intended for her to do that. And I talked with her, and I said that you were to continue on after your conversion to try to win him, to be subject to him. But that doesn't mean, suppose that he wanted you to go out and commit a robbery. Were you to join him in that, drive the car for him? Well, she said she was sure that the evangelist wouldn't want her to go that far. Well, I don't know, but what he would, the way that some of them talk today. May I say to you that this is something voluntary. She's doing this to try to win an unsaved man. Now, she's got to be very careful. She's living with him, and her preaching's not going to do a bit of good. She may now, without the word, be won by the behavior of the wives. She is to preach a wordless sermon by her life that she lives before him. And that hasn't anything in the world to do with submission to him.